Recently, Iowa has been seeing a rise in challenges, concerns, and restrictions with public and school libraries. I had the chance to talk with Sam Helmick, the president of the American Library Association. In the conversation, we talked about the differences between a book ban, reconsideration, and challenge. We also talked about a tiered access card system. Here, Helmick talks about the standards for library cards.
When we ask about what a standard for library cards would be, it's parents are responsible for their library card of their child, but they also get to responsibly say what the child can check out. If the library or a government entity makes that decision for the parent, then parents don't have choices.
According to the ALA, all people of all ages should have equal access to all library resources and services. Policies and procedures that prevent minors from accessing the same resources and services as adults violates the ALA Bill of Rights.
I do think that right now we're seeing like some interesting actions in little pockets of our state where we're not trusting ourselves or our neighbors to steward their family's library cards in a way that we have for nearly 90 years. For example, if I, as a kid, hadn't had my parents come in with our little red wagon and fill up books and talk about the materials inside and create boundaries for me, I'm not quite sure that I would be the reader that I am today, and support that my parents gave me not only as a homeschooling student but as a library user really taught me not only as the president of the American Library Association but as an Iowan and a patron that library card use really does belong in the hands of the individual or the family, not a government body. Some of the first memories I have as a kid was my family used to redact books with red and black Sharpie, and I would hold them up to the sun in my backyard to see what was hidden. Like, I know what it's like to live in an environment where you're taught what to think versus how to think, and I really respect and honor that my parents carefully and meticulously stewarded my learning and reading life. I think we can expect no less from any other parent. And it's like, well, does the government really have a right to make that decision for a 17-year-old or a 15-year-old or a 14-year-old if their parents are there and they've issued them a library card through their permission? So instead of making decisions for parents, because we're not school libraries, we're public libraries serving the general public, it would be inappropriate to try to take the responsibility of in loco parentis and make those decisions for families.
According to the American Library Association website, the Library Bill of Rights was first drafted by the library director, Forrest Spaulding, in 1938. The bill was designed to speak out against the, quote, growing intolerance, suppression of free speech, and censorship affecting the rights of minorities and individuals, end quote.
Now, we have 544 libraries in the state of Iowa, which is more per capita than any other state in the nation. And we are the state that wrote the Library Bill of Rights before ALA adopted it. And you and I both know that all of those 544 communities need to operate within the First Amendment, but they also need to operate within local values. And you have a lot of people dedicating time, talent, and treasure on library boards, library foundations, city councils, school boards to do this work.
Helmick brought up Unite Against Book Bans, which is an initiative launched by the ALA to empower readers everywhere to stand up against censorship. According to the website, the ALA reported 1,247 attempts to censor library books and resources in 2023. This is what they had to say about the survey conducted for the ALA and its partners.
In a third-party non-biased study, 70% of Americans don't want censorship or abridgment of materials in any way. They want the individual family to make that choice, and they know the only way you can make that choice is by making things available, and then the parent has choice and responsibility. It also showed us that over 72% of challenges are coming from folks in special interest groups or outside of the community that they're filing concerns about. So it's not even somebody who necessarily uses the library. It's not even necessarily books that are in the library collection. It's just a copy and pasted list from offline.
And now we hear Helmick explain what a tier access card is.
saying, a tiered access card, to my understanding, is that certain materials would not be available to cards based on age. So like, let's take the Burlington Library in Southeast Iowa. They have a teen section. They have an adult or general section with large type. They have a children's section with picture books and board books. And essentially a tiered library card would say that from ages blank to blank, you have access to specific collections. And so where it becomes tricky is if you have a 15-year-old and they technically are reading young adult, and some of the young adult in Harry Potter deals with, like, you know, going to school and making new friends. But as you get towards the later teen Harry Potters, you're actually dealing with death. Where do those books belong? And if you tier a card, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision that a 15-year-old can only read halfway through Harry Potter, or can't read Harry Potter at all, or can read clear to the end, which will still concern some parents who do not want their 15-year-old to be confronted with death. The easier solution would simply be to be responsible for what your children are reading and give them boundaries, instead of asking the government to make that choice for you. Because as an American, I can tell you, we don't like being told how to raise our children. And the idea that our neighbors could make this decision for us by forcing tiered library cards on some of us is a little tricky. The other thing I would ask is, why are we going after libraries when literacy rates are significantly low in the state of Iowa? 67% of fourth graders are not at proficient reading. If we're really concerned about content getting in front of children's eyes, 97% of American teenagers own a cell phone. 76% of American tweens do. I think that our legislative bodies would be a lot more proactive if we talked about social media and access to unfettered internet. I apologize for going off on a tangent, but I want us to remember that if this is really about our children, then it should be supporting their literacy rates and the autonomy of the family to help them grow and learn and read.
How does a situation like a reconsideration or a challenge impact funding to libraries?
For 90 years, we have adhered to our own principles, like the Library of Bill of Rights, and what you're actually seeing in this state and multiple other states is an attempt to defund publicly funded institutions. If you really look at the data, library workers are some of the most trusted faces of government, so in order to defund them, you'd almost have to vilify what they're doing. And you see this pattern in Florida, in Missouri, in Texas, in Idaho. Essentially, we stopped trusting our schools to administer their library collections. Then if you look at these other states, the pattern becomes, well, now we don't trust our families to navigate a public library. Maybe we need to question what they're doing. And that starts to happen. You see things like where libraries shut down because of murky bills, which don't really explain to you what we mean by age appropriate. If we look at the Miller test, there isn't obscenity in public or school libraries, which is a Supreme Court standard. We have obscenity bills and laws that already address this notion that concerns people who may not use their libraries, right? You start to see libraries being defunded in places like Texas and Missouri. Was this ever about protecting children when we're not talking about device or screen time or regulating the internet? Was this ever about increasing readership when we're defunding libraries? Was this really ever about anything more than a class war and it was distracting us with a culture one? Because we lost 97 library levies in the state of Iowa 2 years ago with the governor's tax bill. 97 communities in Iowa, which is 15% of all the libraries in the state, petitioned and then balloted to add an extra levy in their community to fund their local values. They wanted extra funds for their libraries because as Iowans, we value it. Overnight, those were removed. We're not allowed to vote them back in. We are not allowed to retain the ones that the people voted in. All 97 of them dissipated overnight. Libraries are in risk, right? We have executive orders seeking to dismantle the federal funding in institutions of libraries. We have state entities that are stripping local control and local power to fund your local resources by democratic process. If this isn't meant to defund libraries, I'm not quite sure how folks could go about it better, because they're hitting all three funding streams. Local, by suggesting that our library boards and our volunteer leaders in Iowa aren't doing their diligence. State, by withholding Enrich Iowa funds simply because of the right of association for your professional organizations. And you notice that this is a slippery slope. if you can't belong to a library association, what's going to stop other public servants from being penalized for belonging to their professional networks? But it's all intersectional in that we seem to be creating problems in public libraries that didn't exist. And suddenly that's also immediately coupled with, and oh, by the way, we think you should defund them, even if the majority of the people in your community voted to pay more for them. I actually have no other answer for it than they're trying to defund publicly funded institutions that offer access to opportunity and knowledge.
Libraries in American Value states the following. We affirm the responsibility and the right of all parents and guardians to guide their own children's use of the library and its resources and services. Libraries and their governing bodies can't take on the role of parents or act in loco parentis.
So I think it's important to remember what the difference between a challenge and a reconsideration and a ban are. So a ban would be me saying, well, we're going to put certain materials in a list and say that nobody can have access to them until they're 18 years age. A challenge is when somebody comes in and they're not happy with a book. It could simply be, I didn't like how this ended. I don't think this was well written. I wish the editor had given it another look. Or I think James Patterson has too many books. Often we listen to those and a patron feels heard. They don't really want us to take the James Pattersons off the shelf. They just wanted to be heard. And we have a wonderful conversation. And then sometimes there's a challenge where it's, I don't believe that this book belongs in the library or it belongs in this section or it needs to have a label because of A, B, and C. And at that point, based on the policy of the library, we would kind of determine, do we have multiple people inside and outside of the library community read this material in its entirety, make these determinations? But I also do think that when we come to challenges or censorship or bans, we should really do it in good faith.
According to the ALA, libraries offer a wide collection, but it is up to parents to guide their own children's choices. Libraries can make reasonable exceptions to protect the safety of minors or financial liability to the library. However, Helmick mentioned one policy does not work for all libraries because all communities are different and have different values.
Sometimes, like in Orange City, you put LGBTQIA+ labels on a book and you give them their own section because that's what Orange City has decided to do in their community. And other libraries, they would say, that's like putting LGBTQIA people in the back of the bus. You're otherizing them, you're segregating them. That doesn't match our values. And so the reconsideration process might be, this makes you uncomfortable, but nobody's forcing you to read it. We live in an information age. So not only is information money, so we're creating a society that has to pay to learn, but it's also control. What's really fantastic about libraries is that you aren't an algorithm. You aren't a product. You don't have to pay money to use the Wi-Fi or be in here and browse the stacks. It's equal access and opportunity to everybody in the community. And I don't want folks to take my word for it. I want them to go to their library this week, get a library card, and see for themselves how libraries are getting a $5 to $9 return on investment because of all the great things that communities do in their libraries.
We just heard Sam Helmick on the rising concerns of censorship challenges and funding. Not only is it happening in Iowa, but it's happening across the country and other states. We heard Helmick explain, when it comes to these issues, it's not a straightforward answer. It's very tricky and complicated, and there are many things to consider when looking for solutions. During the 2026 legislative session, multiple bills regarding libraries have been introduced, including parental consent and librarians facing penalties. But as of Thursday, Siouxland Public Media learned that all of the bills have died. I'm Alejandra Perez for Siouxland Public Media News.